From your fryer to the table, it's a quick trip for crispy fries. But how about a crosstown delivery? McCain SureCrisp fries are designed to go from fryer to container to carrier to passenger seat across town during rush hour down a shortcut that wasn't all that short to a doorstep before they hit the table. And that first bite, the crispiness speaks for itself.
Mmm.
To the last bite, McCain SureCrisp fries go the distance. See how far our fries can take your business at surecrisp.com/delivery.
I'm Pat Kobe. I'm the menu editor with Restaurant Business, and I'm here with Brett. We're on our Menu Talk podcast. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Pat. I'm Brett Thorne, senior food and beverage editor of Nation's Restaurant News and Restaurant Hospitality. Nice to see you, Pat.
Yeah, great to see you. And you're in your new apartment. You moved to a new neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Yes, I am in the part of Brooklyn that is not hip, but is cool without knowing it, sort of. Like, it's an old school Brooklyn, forget about it kind of neighborhood. I can't really do a Brooklyn accent, but I'm at the intersection of Sheepshead Bay and Brighton Beach and Manhattan Beach. And Sheepshead, though they're all kind of old Russian, Ukrainian neighborhoods, but with a lot of different groups. And I'm only telling you about this because when I am looking at what the trends are down here, it's Turkish food. There's a lot of Turkish food.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. I'm learning new dishes. I had something yesterday for breakfast that I asked the server how to pronounce it, but her English wasn't very good. So I'm not sure what it is, but it was poached eggs with yogurt and sort of a spicy tomato sauce kind of thing. It was really good.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I actually saw something like that. I did a story about trends that are happening on TikTok, and Turkish breakfast is one of the trends, actually.
Okay.
And this is one of the dishes that they mentioned. You know, they use this like yogurt sauce, and that must have been what you had.
That's what it was. Wow. Yes. So I am in a trendy neighborhood, even though it's not Williamsburg or Bushwick, which are the trendiest of the Brooklyn neighborhoods.
Right.
Over my neighborhood from which I'm moving, Park Slope, which is, well, it didn't used to be trendy, but it was just listed, I think, by Time Out as one of the 100 coolest streets in the world, Fifth Avenue in Park Slope. Oh. I do not agree with that assessment. But, I mean, there are some cool restaurants. There's opening a Japanese curry place just opened up there, like two doors down from Masala Wala and Sons, which was one of the hardest restaurants in the city to get into last year, serving Indian food, part of an apologetic hospitality group, Indian, very robust, bold flavors. So there's stuff going on there.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you found good places to eat already in just 3 days.
I'm amped up and excited. And there's so much smoked fish here.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I don't know if this neighborhood is particularly Russian, but I remember going to Brighton Beach and there were a lot of Russian grocery stores where they have a lot of ready-made food you could take out.
Yes, there's one called Tashkent, which has a ton of ready-made food and a huge food bar and all sorts of stuff. And Brighton Beach is, well, it's known for being Russian, but it's also heavily Ukrainian. And so I don't like to make assumptions because I already was in a bar in Sheepshead Bay and sat next to a woman named Natasha, and I stupidly asked if she was Russian. And she took my hand and said, no, I'm not. Don't step on that landmine again.
No.
But, you know, that's part of the fun of cultural exploration.
Yeah, well, it sounds like fun. Well, we were in Phoenix last week, as I mentioned in our podcast last week, and I went to Pizzeria Bianca, which I think has the best pizza. You know, I know New York is known for its great pizza, so is Chicago, but Pizzeria Bianca, Chris Bianco's place, was so good, and we had shared three different pizzas. One was a Rosa, which has pistachios and red onions, which is just like awesome. It sounds like a weird combination, but it's really good. And then we had a classic margarita, and we had the Bianco Verde, which is like their white pizza with arugula on top. So I love the pizza there.
And I haven't been yet, but Pizzeria Bianco is often on the list of like best pizzerias in America. And I hung out with them a little bit last year, I think it was last year, at Pizza Fest in Chicago. Which I think last year was the first year of the event, unless it was the year before, because you know how time is telescoped and it's confusing now. But Chicago's interesting because it has a number of different pizza styles. Mm-hmm. It's known for its deep dish, but also it has tavern pizza, which is a thin, crispy kind of pizza. And another one that I have forgotten about. Well, there are two kinds of deep dish ones, maybe.
They have stuffed pizza too.
That's it.
Stuffed crust pizza.
Yeah.
But the tavern style, as a New Yorker, when I lived in Chicago, I found it very strange because it's cut in the tiny pieces. It's almost like an hors d'oeuvre. It's like a pizza canapé. You take and you can eat it in two bites.
Yeah, it's cut into squares, right?
Yeah, but like tiny squares.
It's tavern pizza, I guess. That's what it's called. It's intended as bar food, and you all drink your beers and you eat your little tiny slices of pizza, I guess. I forgot you lived in Chicago for a while, so I'm trying to explain the Chicago pizza scene to you. You got it.
Well, when we were at Restaurant Leadership Conference, which I'm going to talk about again, excellent, we were able to do a couple of conversations with some of the attendees and record them. So I spoke with the team from Let Us Entertain You Restaurants and really had an interesting conversation with two of them. And one of the people I spoke with was Kelly Clancy, who's a managing partner with RPM Restaurants in Chicago. And she talked about some of the sustainability initiatives she's working on. So I'm going to play a quick clip from my conversation with Kelly.
Points, and we really want to move forward. One of the big pushes for us is our daily composting programs that we've implemented in every RPM, Pizzeria Portofino, and the Oakville. So everything we do every day, whether it be the prep teams, during service, all of our food waste now is being composted. So we're really proud of that effort. And then as far as the actual menu goes, we've always led in the spirit of sustainability, but it's definitely a major focus for us. Our West Holm strip at RPM Steak, I think, is a really perfect example of that. We get large loins, we break them down into 12-ounce pieces of New York strip. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we're able to do 2 to 4 ounce blocks for our tataki. We use all of the trim for our steak tartare. Instead of using butter made from dairy in the restaurants, we take all of that beef fat, we render it down, and then we create beef butter that we then finish every steak in the restaurant with that beef butter.
Yeah, I thought the beef butter was really the most interesting part. So I thought that, making beef butter was really an interesting way to, save on waste and make something taste delicious. I hadn't heard of that before.
I mean, it's beef tallow. But yeah, using that instead of butter, why use butter when you already have this awesome, delicious beef fat and the whole point of adding butter to the steak is to enhance its fattiness.
Yeah. And then they're also using some of the trim in burgers. They do a Wagyu beef burger and they use some of the trim in that. And I know other restaurants are doing it, but I think RPM Steak and RPM Italian have sort of just gotten on this program, and the composting is really unique. I think that, they're taking everything and having it collected as compost.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I know of some other restaurants that are also composting, but it's a great idea. And I think even more, however much of that, what does it get used for? Does it actually find its way into gardens or agriculture? I don't know what happens to it, but I think it instills into cooks the idea that all of this stuff is precious and we shouldn't waste it. And I love that.
Yeah. Well, the other person from Lettuce who was there is named Christopher LaBarbera, and he works with their new consulting division. And they started this consulting division kind of like what Union Square Hospitality does, to consult on their hospitality because they're kind of known for that. But also, he's opening in a lot of hotels and casinos now, which I thought was interesting. So they're consulting with a lot of hotels who want to put in restaurants as destination restaurants rather than just, the old kind of hotel restaurant, which is kind of, something a lot of hotels are doing now. And he had some interesting things to say about that.
Hospitality is actually, what our bread and butter is, especially in the restaurant forum. But we also feel that there's a new area of hotels that we like to explore a little bit. Ooh. We've just opened up two new restaurants within the Hotel St. Regis in Chicago, and we feel that that's something we really want to explore moving forward. So Lettuce Consulting is going to go into some of these areas and kind of develop and nurture some relationships with hotel partners and hotel developers and the brands and see how we can grow. You know, the past few years, many of the restaurants that we've built are either in a casino or they're adjacent and part of actually the hotel structure. So moving forward, leadership at Lettuce Entertain You, this is one of the things we're looking at to grow the company.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And of course, Lettuce isn't the only or first restaurant group to do this. And teaming up with hotels is smart because they have an infrastructure. There are a lot of fixed costs they can share. You have something of a captive audience. I mean, it's something that Michael Mina's group is focused on that. And a number of other restaurant operators have figured out that going into hotels is, you can manage your costs a lot better. And it's smart.
Yeah, no, definitely. And yeah, they mentioned that I think Nashville is going to be one of their markets next. So that's kind of interesting. A lot of people are opening restaurants in Nashville lately.
Well, as you may know, our Create conference is going to be in Nashville this fall. So that's something that everybody can look forward to as they come to Nashville. I know that speaking of consultants and hotels, Sam Fox from Phoenix and Elizabeth Blau from Las Vegas have stuff going on in Nashville. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So in hotels, I'm pretty sure. So that's certainly where a lot of the action is going on. And it's hard, as you know, to run an independent restaurant. So when you can find large companies to partner with, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, definitely. And then I also sat down with Ricky Richardson, who's the CEO of Eggs Up Grill. And we talked a lot about daytime dining and the breakfast lunch segment and how much that's growing. I mean, First Watch kind of is the one that's most recognized for sort of ramping up that whole category, but Eggs Up Grill is growing fast. And he talked a bit about their beverage program and how that's kind of, he's innovating a lot in the beverage area, which is something we talked about in previous podcasts, but beverages seem to be a very hot area to innovate in.
With beverages, you know, we introduced mimosas, adult beverages, back in the second half of 2020 in response to, as everyone's scrambling a bit to how to drive revenues. But those have been very successful for us. We put a lot of focus over the last year on specialty coffees.
Right.
So we've brought in across about a dozen restaurants right now. We have espresso platforms. So not only just cold brew coffees, but espresso specialty beverages. We're putting those in all new restaurants and then retrofitting quite a number of our franchise partners' restaurants with that platform as well.
So you need new equipment for that.
We do need new equipment. Royal Cup is our product supplier and our equipment supplier. And they've got a terrific piece of equipment that fits our concept well and some high quality.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, the breakfast and lunch segment is interesting. And there's First Watch and Snooze and Breakfast Republic. Like, there are a ton of them. And operationally, they're great because everybody can quit at 3 o'clock and go home and spend time with their families. And, you know, eggs are highly profitable and people drink during brunch. This is something that obviously has picked up since the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. People were getting loaded during lunch when they were working from home or from whatever breakfast and brunch restaurant they decided to go to. But even before then, I remember talking to the Snooze people about how many cocktails people are having with their brunch on a Wednesday. And that's just become more and more the case. And obviously, drinks are highly, highly profitable.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee beverages, alcoholic ones. I mean, it's a really great way to do business.
Well, yeah, I interviewed someone recently who told me a lot of people are coming in for weekday brunches now. I mean, not, you know, people who work, but also people who are doing baby showers or things like that in the middle of the week. And it's really interesting how that category has grown so much. And, you know, brunch it's not only profitable, but it's cheaper for the customer. I mean, you can go out and, you know, you're check might come to $40 or something for, you know, all you can drink and having a good meal and It's pretty filling. So yeah, it's a win-win, I would say.
Yeah, totally. Everybody benefits from going out earlier in the day.
Yeah, for
sure. Then, you know, they can be at home with their streaming services or their kids or whatever at night. And, I mean, it is something you've probably heard it from restaurant operators here in New York City, that people don't go out as late as they used to. They
right.
tend to make their dinner reservations earlier on. And you know, it's, I mean, I wouldn't say New York isn't still a late night city, because it is. It's just, I think, more younger people going out drinking, as they have always done.
Yeah, well, I think certain neighborhoods are still late night neighborhoods, but the more residential ones are definitely getting the earlier crowds. I used to like to go out at 5:30 because it was less noisy and more relaxed, but now there are a lot of people going out at 5:30.
Yeah, you used to be able to get a table at 5:30.
Right.
It's harder. Now maybe it's easier to make your reservations at 9 o'clock.
Well, yeah, that isn't my style for sure, but I know some people like it.
I'm a night owl. I can handle that. But, you know, I think like everybody else, I am also now more inclined to go out earlier on.
Yeah. Well, Ricky and I also talked about, you know, how a lot of the people who come into Eggs Up Grill like to order customized omelets. And that was kind of like backing up the kitchen a lot, because it took a lot longer to get them out. And it was also operationally more complicated. So they just introduced this platform called Scramblers, which is a great solution because it really eased execution and it gives customers just as much of an option, you know, to add things that they want to add and not customize as completely as an omelet, but there are several options and you can really find the one that meets your taste buds. So I'll play a little clip from that conversation.
Are in the middle of a platform that's gone incredibly well for us. It's about 4.5% of our product mix right now. It's called a scramblers platform. So we do cheesy scrambled eggs, and then we top those off. We've got a vegetarian version that has fresh griddled vegetables on there. We have a chorizo version that's very, very popular for us. And then we have a crabacato, which is a combination of crab cakes and avocados, cheesy scrambled eggs, some veggies in there. That's been a very successful platform
for us. Yeah, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's very good. You know, we innovated that product more from an operational lens. Omelets are our number one seller. There's a lot of personalization, as you probably would know,
right,
going on with omelets. And it can get pretty complex on the weekends with a lot of special requests. So we looked at what our most popular products were from an omelet standpoint and then developed these scramblers as a way that we can have a bit more consistency in the orders coming through and speed and accuracy with that.
Yeah, so sounds like it's been very successful for them.
You know, and it sounds like they listened to what their customers wanted and listened to what they're most likely to want together in an egg dish and say, okay, here it is. Now you don't have to specialize. And I'm sure people still substitute things in and out, but you have maybe more people just ordering off the menu, which is more convenient for everybody.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed Restaurant Leadership Conference this year because, as I mentioned, I think last week, there was a lot more menu content and a lot more talk about, I mean, the menu is really what makes a restaurant a restaurant. So it was exciting to have more talk around the menu.
Yeah, that's cool. With a lot of these conferences, you end up talking about tech and marketing and stuff, all of which is important, but we're the menu people. In fact, I haven't had lunch today.
Also, I had this really good lunch around the corner from our New York office where I'm sitting today. It's a Korean build your own bowl kind of place. And And I had, I chose shrimp and a salad mixture on the bottom and really good sauce. It was pretty excellent.
Well, so, a door or two down from there is a fast casual Nigerian place. If it's still.
Oh, really?
Undu. Yeah, and you can go there and get your jollof rice and your efo riro, which is some sort of green vegetable with turkey neck, and moin moin, which are these delicious little fish cakes. So it's
wow.
The first fast casual West African restaurant that I know of. And
yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Worth checking out.
Well, do you have any plans for exploring your neighborhood this weekend?
Yeah, well, I'm partly going back to my old neighborhood because my lease doesn't expire until May 14th. So I'm going to take everything that I left behind and bring it out to the curb like a good former tenant, clean things up, throw a lot of things away, because we have curbside pickup here in New York City. That's why I'm bringing the things
right
to our audience who doesn't live in New York City. But then, yeah, I'm going to just hang out and walk around. And there are so many different sausages and smoked fish in the grocery stores here that I'm going to go to town. It's going to be fun.
Well, great. Well, thanks for joining me today, Brett. And hopefully we could do this in the office together one day soon.
Yes, soon. I don't know if our audience really cares, but we are building a podcast studio in our offices. So I think opening in June. So that's something to look forward to. In the meantime, we'll keep coming to you every week. And I hope you enjoy us. Send us comments, send email, yeah. Good and bad. We love hearing from you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for joining us every week, everyone.
Yes, thank you.
From your fryer to the table, it's a quick trip for crispy fries. But how about a crosstown delivery? McCain SureCrisp fries are designed to go from fryer to container to carrier to passenger seat across town during rush hour down a shortcut that wasn't all that short to a doorstep before they hit the table. And that first bite, the crispiness speaks for itself.
Mmm.
To the last bite, McCain SureCrisp fries go the distance. See how far our fries can take your business at surecrisp.com/delivery.